right, so I will call to order. We're going to begin our meeting by meeting as the, sorry, one sec. I'm having a little computer issue here. All right, we are going to begin our meeting as the MTS Audit Oversight Committee. And let me ask the clerk to call the roll.
Members of the public can make a public comment using the raise hand feature during the agenda item or make a request for any item using the Q&A feature. Members of the public will have 3 minutes to speak during public comment and receive a 30-second warning before their time expires. I will now repeat this in Spanish. Los miembros del público pueden hacer un comentario público utilizando la función raise hand o levantar la mano durante el artículo de la agenda o peticionar cualquier artículo utilizando la función Q&A o preguntas y respuestas. Los miembros del público tendrán 3 minutos para hacer su comentario y les daré una advertencia de 30 segundos antes de que el tiempo expire. I will now call roll. Fletcher?
Fletcher here.
Otelo Solís?
Otelo Solís here.
Hilo Rivera?
Present.
Hall?
Here.
Moreno?
Present.
Salas? Sankey?
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
All right, we'll go to item two, approval of the minutes. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the meeting of November 4th, 2021. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion by myself, second by Member Hall. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
That motion passes. Let's go to agenda item number three, public comment. Let me ask the clerk if we have any requests for non-agendized public communication.
We have none.
All right, we're going to jump into our discussion items. The first item is informational only, no action for us to take regarding the Pun Group engagement letter for fiscal year 2022 audit. And I will turn it over to staff for their presentation.
Good morning, my name is Erin Dunn. I'm the controller here at MTS. As most of you know, the Audit Oversight Committee meets twice a year. The first one is in the spring or summertime where we kick off the audit and talk about our interim work. And then we'll meet again late fall to discuss the they switched the acronym on me, the aquifer. So Coley Delaney and Ken Poon are both here to join us today to walk us through the approach to the audit and the responsibilities of both management and the auditors. Coley, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you so much. My name is Ken Poon. I'm the managing partner of the firm and also engagement partner with Coley on this engagement. So today, what we are going through is kind of like doing some highlight because the auditing standard has changed some a little bit. So we'll walk you through the scope of work, talking about the responsibility, how we are going to address the our responsibility through the audit approach. And then also, we already finished up our interim work. So in the next agenda item, we'll talk about our interim audit procedures and then also our interim results. And then we also identify the significant transactions for 2022. And then it's very important, there are still new GASB pronouncement that needs to be implemented during the current fiscal year. And then we'll briefly talk about what will be the impact to your financial statement. So the scope of work basically is break it down into a couple areas. The financial statement audit, we audit the MTS, the annual comprehensive financial report. Last year, GASB statement number 98 changed the acronym called ACFR. The other one is the San Diego Transit Corporation, the employee retirement plan, which is the single employer plan for the SDTC. Coley, can you go back to one slide? The compliance audit, since the MTS actually expend more than $750,000 in federal expenditure, so therefore a single audit is also required. And we do actually perform a couple of the agreed upon procedures, including the indirect cost rate used by MTS on grants, the National Transit Database and making sure that verifying the input is all inconsistent with the data that is submitted. And then last but not least is on the TDA Act, the Transportation Development Act. And last but not least is the assisting the MTS to implement GASB statement number 87 on lease accounting. And if we do have any material weaknesses or significant deficiency, we will also issue a management letter. As management yourself, you are fully responsible for these financial statements. By preparing these financial statements and fair presentation of these financial statements in accordance with generally accepted accounting principle. GASB, the Governmental Accounting Standard Board, is the standard setting bodies for state local government, which MTS is abided by. You also need to design, implement, and maintenance of internal control relevant to the preparation of the financial statement, and also on the compliance side, and making sure that these financial statements are free from material misstatement, whether due from fraud or errors, and then also on the compliance side, you are free from material non-compliance. In preparing these financial statements, we also, is very important this year, management is required to evaluate there are condition or event considered in aggregate that raise substantial doubt about MTS ability to continue as a going concern for the next 12 months. It is very specific. In the past, we know is kind of implicit in the audit procedures, but now with the new auditing standard coming into play, we have also require management to have an evaluation process when they perform the year-end closing. That is one of the areas that is new to the to MTS too. So next slide. As the auditors ourselves, you are engaging us to perform the audit. So it's making sure that we form and express our audit opinion on whether about these financial statements present fairly in all material respect in accordance with generally accepted accounting principle. We are here to obtain reasonable assurance, not absolute assurance on whether the financial statements are free from material misstatement. We do consider internal control over financial reporting, but such internal control, such consideration is only determined the audit procedures that we perform. We are not providing any assurance concerning internal control. Next slide. So this slide is pretty brand new and it will reflect in the independence auditors report that we issue. That is part of our responsibility. We do need to exercise professional judgment and maintain our professional skepticism throughout the whole entire audit. Second, it's pretty much the same as prior. We are required to identify and assess risk of material misstatement of the financial statement, whether due from fraud and errors, and then design audit procedures to respond to those risks being identified. We conduct our procedures on a test base, so that's why we are not here to 100% validating your data. We do it on a test basis based on the risk identifying and obtain evidence supporting to the amount and the disclosure reflected in these financial statements. Very importantly, we are also required an understanding the internal control of the audit in order to look at the design and then also design the audit procedures so that we are able to express our opinion on the effectiveness of the internal control. However, such an opinion is not expressed. We do evaluate the appropriateness of the account policy and the use of accounting estimate and evaluate the overall presentation of the financial statement. And last but not least is relating to the substantial doubt about this, the MTS ability as a going concern. So those will be also included in our evaluation tier. Our audit approach is basically a four-phase audit approach. First phase is what we call planning phase. We review the prior audit audit effort from the prior year, discuss with management team, and then also looking at the new GASB pronouncement that has an impact to your financial statement, and then we'll come up with a audit plan. during the interim time, which we already did in April and May timeframe. We are like kind of confirming our understanding of the internal control, looking at the significant transaction cycle, including financial reporting, revenue and receivable cycle, expense and AP, payroll and related liability, IT control, capital asset, and long-term debt. Those are the couple significant transaction class that we have that we are evaluating. Performing preliminary analytical procedures, kind of setting up our expectation, what the result will be for the year end, and then also had a exit conference with management talking about our observation. Phase three is year-end phase, which is starting in a couple of weeks, starting in August. We were actually looking at the looking at balances. Management will present us the trial balance, all the numbers, all the supporting. So what we are performing is looking at the reconciliation, looking at the details, select sample transactions to perform substantive testing. Perform confirmation on some account balance, sending out attorney's letter, confirming some of the contingency and commitment that's being that needs to be disclosed, and then also we'll complete the work on the single audit, which is the federal compliance side. And last but not least is the reporting. We'll review the draft presented by management on the financial statement, we'll also issue the agree upon procedures that we perform, going through our QC process, making sure that everything is fine, completing our the checklist, and then issue our report upon the approval from management. As a result, you do have a full evaluation of the system of control, efficient validation process, effective compliance review, timely performance, and minimum disruption to your operations here. So any questions before we move on to the next item?
Let me ask members of the executive committee if there's any questions. All right, not hearing any. Let me ask if we have any requests for public comment on this item, item four.
We have none.
Okay, I think we can move along to item five, the interim audit.
Hey, yeah, so my name is Colby Delaney with the Coon Group, and I'll be giving you an update on the interim procedures that we performed and the results of those procedures. So as far as, I mean, Ken already kind of mentioned some of this stuff, but the purpose of our visit in the spring to MTF is for our to evaluate internal controls and come up with a risk assessment in order to plan procedures to perform during our year-end validation audit. So what we performed was initial risk assessment. We obtained an understanding and performed walkthrough and or tested controls on significant transaction classes, as Ken already mentioned. So that included financial reporting, revenue and cash receipts, the procurement process and cash disbursements, capital assets, payroll, and human resources. We confirmed our risk assessment and have designed audit procedures to use at our year-end audit. We also looked at some IT system controls and cybersecurity, performed fraud risk inquiry, prepared the attorney letters and confirmations. And one thing that we do also during this time frame for preliminary analytics is we do use artificial intelligence software where we upload every single transaction that, the GL transaction detail for every single account that MTS has and run it through our software, and it identifies what we call high-risk transactions based on a certain number of approximately 30 different control points. And so this adds an additional layer of audit assurance versus just traditional sampling. And so we look at those specific transactions that are identified by the software as well. We also did census data testing for the CalPERS plans and for SCTC employee retirement plan. It says OPEB there. We actually are pending. OPEB is pending, but we also look at related party transactions if there are any. Perform preliminary TDA compliance testing. Came out and counted inventory and performed liability claims file testing. So So for the interim audit results, based on the interim procedures performed, the internal controls for the selected transaction cycles appeared to be properly designed, in place, and operating effectively in order to prevent and detect material misstatements. No significant deficiencies or material weaknesses over internal control, compliance, or financial reporting were noted. But as Ken mentioned earlier, the purpose of this work is not to provide an opinion on the operating effectiveness of MTS's controls, but rather that data is gathered for our risk assessment purposes and to aid us in designing further audit procedures. We will point out this year there is going to be a significant transaction that will be that has been building up on the Sandag side for the last six, seven years or so, and that is going to be this year it's the capitalization of the Midcoast Trolley Extension. So that the Blue Line was placed into service as you well know in November 2021. And so that project, the complete project, is expected to be contributed to MTS from Sandag this year. So that what that's going to mean is that approximately $2 billion of contribution revenue and capital asset additions will be hitting the financial statements in 2022. And I've spoken with Larry and Aaron. And so we're going to, because of this large dollar amount, we're going to be working with Sandag as well, in order to make sure that the number that we bring on for this project is materially fairly stated. The next one is the implementation of a new GASB standard, and I'll let Ken talk about this one.
Thank you, Coley. So basically, GASB 87 has significantly changed the way that we look at leases. In the past state of the practice, leases was actually divided, breaking down into capital leases versus operating leases. Based on certain criteria, you may need to capitalize some of the leases, but some of the situation where it may not meet the criteria, so it's kind of like an off balance sheet item. So leases have been changes after GASB statement number 87 that is being implemented, which is in the current fiscal year. Very first thing, not only on the liability side that you need to recognize as a lessee, on the liability side, you need to recognize leases on the balance sheet, but also as a lessor, you also do need to record a lease receivable on the face of the financial statement. So based for this current fiscal year, you will definitely see some new changes because of leases, based on the foundational principle that is being talked about under the pronouncement. It's all leases is considered financing. So that's why on being the lessor, you will see the lease receivable and offset by deferred inflow of resources, and then amortized like basically based on the terms of the agreement. So you amortize and allocate and recognizing revenue based on the terms of the contract. On the other side, on the leases, you do actually need to record the right to use asset on the face of financial statement, and then offset by the lease liability. And then as you can tell, the lease liability will be including all the operating lease that you were not looking at in the past, and will be reported on the face of financial statement this year. So that's why this year, when you actually look at the financial statement, we'll have a new nooks to the financial statement talking about the policy that MTS is actually setting it up, and then also the detail, including the loan, the lease receivable, and then also the lease liability. This is a retroactive implementation. So basically, we need to evaluate the liability or the receivable as of July 1st, and will have some impact on the beginning net position of MTS. So that's conclude our presentation for interim audit and the new GASB pronouncement. And see if there's any question, I'm more than happy to answer that.
All right, thank you. Let me ask members of the executive committee if there are any questions or comments.
Mr. Chair, I've got a quick one.
Yep, Mr. Sankey.
Thank you very much. My question involves our new transit-oriented development projects that are happening on a lot of our land. I know we're having very low lease payments on them because we want to incentivize the building of this housing. This Prop 87, or excuse me, GASB 87, can you talk a little bit about how those new TOD leases are going to affect our financial standing?
So Ken, this is Erin. These are the ones that we discussed because they will not be finished, and we currently aren't receiving any revenue for them because it doesn't happen until they take over occupancy. They will not be on this year's financials, but most likely on next year's financials, because it's my understanding occupancy will begin in August or September of 23.
And sometimes these new GASB make things not look as good as they used to. For example, when we had to report the unfunded pension liabilities on our balance sheets, every jurisdiction started looking worse. Will this Prop 87 GASB, as it relates to the TOD developments, be positive as an impact on our balance sheet, or will they actually reflect negatively?
They will be positive. However, because it is minimal, it won't be a significant impact. Some of our other ones will be larger. We do have ones that are much older. So for instance, the Mills building right that we're in today, that will have a positive impact on it.
Okay, great. I appreciate the question. Thank you.
All right. Let me ask if we have any public comment on this item.
We have none.
All right. I will make a motion to receive the interim report. Is there a second?
Sankey, second.
All right. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Sankey to receive the interim audit report. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Nathan, I just had a quick follow-up question for him. Maybe they can.
Oh, of course. Go ahead, Ron.
Go ahead. The AI software kind of scared me a little bit. Can you guys elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So essentially, I mean, we've been doing this using the AI software with MTS for several years now. Okay. And even when we first started it as kind of a pilot. Kind of a pilot project with MTS. What we did is we worked with the finance department to obtain, even from year one of implementation, going back 5 years worth of transaction detail, and uploaded it into the system. And so we have to kind of
in the MTS system.
No, it's to one.
But I wanted to clear up.
That's yeah, fine. it's our software.
Okay.
And so we run it through the system, and there's a lot of upfront work. You know, we have to tell the system what all the accounts belong to, what, you know, where they're grouped and things like that. And then essentially it uses machine learning to evaluate, you know, accounts that are related to each other, accounts that should be related to each other, accounts that should not be related to each other. It will pop out. It will flag transactions as certain things, what we call like rare flows. Like, hey, we're not, you know, in auditing, you know, in accounting, you're not supposed to see transactions go from this account to this account. You know, so that potentially it will flag those things. It also looks for statistical anomalies. It'll pop out transactions like what we call like expense flurries. So when, you know, to look for things that if there's been a huge amount of transactions right before year end, things like that. And basically it adds another layer of audit assurance that
they're just checking.
Yeah.
Okay, now that was it. I just wanted to like I said, it bugged me, so I just wanted a little more detail on it. So thank you.
Perfect. All right. Thank you for that. That motion passes. We will go to our next agenda item, internal audit activity update report. This is an informational item only. No action for us to take as a board, and I will turn it over to staff for their presentation.
Good morning, members of the Audit Oversight Committee. My name is Jeff Shuri, and I'm the internal auditor at MTS. So this morning I'm going to update you on internal audit activity this year. I normally do so about twice a year, but it's
Chair, is it me or is it very, very, very low?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was having a little trouble hearing that. There you go. That's better.
Can you hear me? Okay, thank you. So I normally do this update twice a year, but it's been a couple of years since I've done so, in part because of COVID and in part because I was not at MTS for 8 months. I will start with some background information about the audit planning process, and then I will go on to the list of planned audits this year, which is the heart of this presentation, and then cover a couple of other things. So the audit planning process has a few steps in it, but the first one is conducting a risk assessment, and that's really the foundational aspect to it. And what that is, what a risk assessment is, you can think of it as a tool or a methodology. What I'm trying to do is to capture everything in the organization that could potentially be audited, and then rank it based on various assessments of risk. And then after that, just to come up with a prioritized list of potential audits. So that's the output from the risk assessment. And I could skip through the details unless anybody has questions about the nitty-gritty of how to do risk assessment. I think I'll move on. So conducting a risk assessment, though, it's a significant effort, and I don't do one every year. I do one every 2 to 3 years because the risk assessment just generates a lot of topics for audit, so I don't really need to do it every year. And then these are some of the other steps that are included in the planning process. A lot of it is just really interviewing people, talking to people, directors, the CEO, the general counsel. And then I come up with a budget, which is essentially, you know, the resources that I have to spend doing audits. It's primarily my time. And then we agree on what I'm going to audit. Now, this year, I deviated slightly from just using purely a risk assessment approach to choose audits. And I did so for a couple of reasons. COVID's had an impact on MTS. In some cases, it's staffing shortages. In other cases, we've implemented new systems. And so I had to just kind of apply my judgment to decide, okay, you know, maybe if I'm just going purely by the risk assessment, I would choose these audits, but I can't. And I'll give you just one example. Some of the areas that came up high on the risk assessment as potential audits had to do with the information technology department and processes. But we have a new CIO, and she is reorganizing the department and hiring new people. So it would not have made sense for me to just overwhelm her and say, oh, by the way, I'm doing 5 IT audits this year. So that's kind of where the judgment part comes in. Here's my budget. It's prorated. It's prorated because the first couple of months of this calendar year, I was not at MTS. And then a couple of months after that, I spent them working on a risk assessment. And then I did spend about a month working on the triennial review, which I will get into it a little bit later in this presentation. So based on this budget, I came up with this audit plan, which was approved by the CEO. And that's really what I want to go through carefully with you this morning and really explain my reasoning behind the audit selection. The first two audits, travel expense claims and accounts payable, I mean, those involve the finance department and accounting. For the 8 years or so that I've been with MTS, I've always regarded finance and accounting as having a fairly good, tight control environment. But one thing you have to be careful about as an auditor is something we call the familiarity threat, which is you kind of know something's good, you have a feeling something's good, so you just kind of write it off and don't look at it. And so finance and accounting, they get audited every year by our external financial auditor. I have limited audit resources. I've never really had a reason to look at them. There have always been higher risk or higher priority areas for me to spend time on. But this year, I thought it was important to do so, in part because I was, again, like I mentioned, doing things a little bit differently. Travel expense claims, I would consider it a type of assurance audit, a diligence audit. Travel expenses in many organizations, they're subject to abuse, kind of like a P card, for example. And so it's important to have good controls over them. Accounts payable is a very narrow process, limited process that happens, you know, within the accounting department. But I thought it would be good for me to just pick one process and look at. The third item on the list is board policy reviews. That type of audit I would put in the category of administrative hygiene. You know, what happens is, I think, I forgot the number, we have 50 or 60 board policies. And typically in many places, nobody looks at policies for years until something bad happens. And then you find out, oh, well, that policy had not been updated. And you know, maybe the bad thing that happened could have been prevented. And so what I plan on doing is just selecting a couple of policies that are either old or need updating, and then just kind of providing recommendations, and then we'll run it by the respective policy owner, and then it will come up for the board for your consideration. Procurement micropurchases was an audit that I put on there. I don't know the details about it, but that was a request from the director of our supply chain operations and procurement department. Apparently there are some minor issues there that he'd like my help with, and I'm happy to do so. Pronto is our new fare system. I put it on there as a potential audit because when I was doing my risk assessment a few months ago, a lot of people had various issues and questions about Pronto because it's a large new system. The reason why I'm not sure I'm going to do the audit is sometimes when you have big IT system implementations, a lot of issues just resolve themselves. You don't really need to audit them. So I'm kind of putting that in a wait and see mode. IT security is the only audit, you know, within the purview of the IT department that I am going to look at. I think it's the most crucial one, and I've done IT security reports in the past. And so this would be my way to kind of update my own knowledge of what's going on there and then report to management and the board on that. You will notice that a lot of the estimated hours for audits are suspiciously round. That's just the way I do my audit planning. I basically guess or estimate how many weeks it's going to take me to do one. And a lot of them are 3, 4, or 5 week audits. Okay, I'll move on. So a few months ago, Sharon asked me to look at what we are doing to respond to the FDA's triennial review, which they do every 3 years. It's an exhaustive audit. It takes a lot of effort here. And I was involved with it, but my role really was just that of an observer, just to note some issues and make recommendations. I am not going to go into any details because you will receive a report from management about it at a future board meeting. Although I'll just put my two cents here, I didn't think there were any issues. Lastly, I do have a small role here with the fraud, waste, and abuse hotline. I'm not the only one. Anything that comes up that's a significant issue, you know, the CEO, the general counsel, and then myself and HR. Usually my role is that of a fact finder slash investigator. I would say out of anywhere between 100 to 200 calls that we receive every year on the fraud, waste, and abuse hotline, there's usually just one call that ends up meriting an investigation. And so far this year, there have been no such calls. And that concludes my presentation. Any questions?
Thank you. Let me ask members of the executive committee if you have any comments or questions. An informational item only.
Just a comment, Chair.
Yeah, please.
I'm really glad that we're taking a proactive look at our policies instead of waiting until there's problems. So thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Thank you. Any other questions or comments from members of the executive committee? All right, let me ask if we have any public speakers in this item.
We have none.
All right, informational item only. Thank you for the presentation and the work. We'll go to agenda item 7, committee member communications and other business. Not seeing anything there. Our next meeting date will be TBD. And with that, we stand adjourned as the audit committee.